sexual atheism in the church and how hookup culture is making us miserable. Also, it is not unloving to call out false teachers. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about a number of topics inside and outside of the church. And we also wanted to talk a little bit about how we shouldn't let our hope be deferred because we're going to place it in its proper place. But before we get to that, I just want to say hello and thank you guys who have continued to support. You know, Tony was just reading me another praise report concerning Good Fight Radio Show and 5:11 News, what you're listening to right now. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for your encouraging messages. They are a blessing that you guys help me get this out, help the body of Christ working together to share all of these different things that we're working on. And so we want to just praise the Lord for that and everything that you guys are doing to help the ministry. So praise the Lord for you guys. And I know that when it comes to the subject we're going to be talking about today, it is one that should not be very contentious, but happens to be. It's one of those situations that when we look at what's going on in the culture, sadly, it seems like it slowly penetrates within the church. This is something that has happened over and over and over again, sadly. And when I say the church, and I don't want to get into a big, long theological discussion here on just the church, the episynagoge, the assembling, and so forth. But when I say the church, I don't necessarily mean every single blood-bought believer in the world. The ecclesia that Jesus mentions in Matthew 16, 18, the church that he would build and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nor necessarily am I meaning that which he talked about in Matthew 18 when it comes to having elders that you would bring forth in local bodies, people's sin before the church in order to excommunicate them from that church. But what I'm talking about when I say the church is what is typically called cultural Christianity. And I will tell you this, even though we're going to be talking about that, talking about how the culture and the effect that our culture has had on the church and so forth, one of the things that sadly happens is that things that are accepted in the cultural framework of the world and then in the cultural framework of Christianity then will seep in to many conservative churches. And I believe it's what Jude talked about, the creeping in unnoticed. And this is why in Romans the 16th chapter, Paul makes sure that you mark and avoid those who teach false doctrine. And we're going to be talking more about that later. But I think a lot of this has to do with people living an antinomian, no law kind of life. And it all permeates our culture because we are supposed to be salt and light, and they should look to us and recognize that we as the body of Christ are different than the outside world. I mean, when you think of 1 Peter chapter 4, it's very, very clear that there's two things the believers should have happen when they do not walk in the dissipations and the sins of the world, that you should be, they should marvel, they should wonder why, and they should malign you or repent. Those are, I guess there's three options, right? When they see that and they see your good works and they see you following Christ, it should cause them to ask the question, why do you have this hope within you? And so we need to be unstained from the world. We need to make sure that we as the body of Christ are growing in sanctification, for this is the will of God, that we would grow in our sanctification, that we'd abstain from sexual immorality. And that's what I wanted to talk about. You see, There was an article, it's actually from last year. I think it's from 2019, actually. But the article was recently reshared by its author, Lauren Chen, who is more of a conservative writer. I don't really know where she is spiritually. But she says something interesting, and you guys know how we feel about Disney here. We have an entire episode regarding Disney, and hopefully, Lord willing, this year is one of those documentaries we will be working on, is on Disney eventually. Tony's probably looking at me sideways right now because I'm mentioning another documentary while we're working on two right now. But nonetheless, I'm going to be reading a quote from here, from her article, which is titled, "Hookup Culture is Making Us Miserable." And this is actually a solid article overall. And one of the things, though, I think sometimes we can, as not just believers, but people, just thinking people, we can put the cart before the horse a lot of times in terms of how we view the ramifications of sin. Because the fact is, the culture and the depreciation of that which is around us is depreciated because of sin being enumerated and just having more and more sin propagated around us. And so when we look at these things, let's not get to a place, as brothers and sisters in Christ, this is something I want to bring up. As we are brothers and sisters in Christ, let's make sure that we still do blush when sin takes place. Let's not be the people that we grow so hard that we're like, yeah, just pagans be pagans. Let's not be that way. I think about it this way too. When it comes to Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about how those things, which even the things which he needed to expose, even those things that he would have no fellowship with but need to expose, he said they're shameful. They're hard to even talk about. He shouldn't even have to talk about these things, right? Especially in the body of Christ. We should not allow any of these things to be named amongst us. But it's one of those things that you think about Paul, and I believe it's in Acts chapter 17, that his spirit was stirred within him when he saw just the pagan idols around him. I don't want to say just, because idols are demons. But nonetheless, when we think about these things, think about it in Isaiah's format. All right, when Isaiah was carrying down woes upon all this wickedness, and God's like, I'm going to show you greater abominations and greater abominations and greater abominations, until eventually also he himself said, touch this coal to my lips, right? I'm an unclean lip. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell with the people of unclean lips. Like, this is the place where we go to, woe is me. It's very interesting that people talk about the woe is me, and it's usually talked about in the negative sense, but in Isaiah's sense, I think it was a good thing that he was saying that, recognizing his standard, his state in adjacent to, I'm having trouble with words today, Tony, adjacent to the holiness of God. And then when looking at it and saying, wait a second, even me, I even have unclean lips compared to the holiness and righteousness of God, even in Isaiah as well. Later, he would write that even the good works are as filthy rags before God. So these are things we need to make sure we're paying attention to. And it should break our heart that the culture around us doesn't see the Christian church as ones specifically that are remaining pure in order to best serve their king. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Everyone talks about purity culture, and sadly enough, I think it has been besmirched by so many people that it was like such this horrible thing that people were told not to sleep with each other before marriage. Like, that is just the worst thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's places, and you could talk to some ladies or something that could say, hey, but this maybe was too far and so forth. But, you know, I think that overall the message was probably, we want to make sure we're not giving ourselves over. We're going to make sure that we're not giving ourselves and our body over to some random people. And sadly, the culture, this is just everywhere now. This is the commonplace. We've talked about this in other shows that we've done. If you just looked at the sitcoms, right? In the beginning, the most of the sitcoms, they would have a husband and a wife, typically. That was the case. Now, I believe that a lot of those also had their own wicked ways of making sure that the husband looked like the dummy and the mom was really running the house. And, you know, she had all these secrets and it was really funny and everything, right? And then you also had, you know, when it comes to these sitcoms, the dad is typically a drinker, you know, puts his hands in his pants to watch TV every day and that's what he does, you know? And a lot of times they also are oogly and ugly over other women in those shows. And that's another way that Satan has snuck in that sort of mentality into men, that this is normative behavior when it's never supposed to be. But then you had the sitcoms, especially I think in the 90s and the 2000s and obviously now, over and over again, this single life, but as multiple friends, right? Living this single life, whether that was, you know, Friends, perfect example, Seinfeld, and all of these people slept with multiple people. And most of people's favorite characters were those that would sleep with random people, right? Joey in Friends was like one of the most favorite characters, and he slept with just about everybody, right? You had in Seinfeld, Elaine and Jerry had new women, new women for Jerry, new men for Elaine every single episode. Right? This was the whole thing. And once again, this consuming this is so wicked. If everything that is in your eye, everything you're watching with your eyes is darkness, how great is the darkness within you? You got to be careful. You want to set no wicked thing before your eyes. That should be the nature of us as believers. And when we recognize that we're being entertained by the very thing that God prohibits, and when God tells us in his word very clearly that this is God's will for your life, your sanctification, that you would flee from sexual immorality, that we would be like Joseph fleeing away from Potiphar's wife when it comes to committing sexual sin, and we're sitting there being entertained by it. That's stuff we need to say, God, convict our hearts of this. So I wanted to bring all that out before we talk a little bit about this article, because I think the article does a good job of talking about where it's led us in the culture, okay? And she talks a little bit about pop culture in terms of movies and things that you used to watch as a kid that maybe had you viewing marriage or relationships in a certain way and how that's a little different now. Now, so I'll read from the article. It says, when we were young, Disney movies and fairy tales painted us an idyllic version of how courtship occurs. Boy meets girl, sparks fly, they fall in love, get married, and live happily ever after. But as we got older, the reality of modern dating became an entirely different story. Instead, as fate would have it, we ended up in the generation of Tinder, one-night stands, side chicks, and rising STD rates. Lucky us. And this is very, very true. This is what the culture is. Tinder and Grindr for the homosexuals and so forth. These apps that you put on your phone where you swipe compared to the looks and you meet up with them, many of which are meeting up specifically that night just to sleep with each other. Songs are about it. Articles talk about it. Movies talk about it. Shows talk about it. This is the normative for the culture. And for a culture that is, I need gratification right now. This is why my phone has videos and video games. This is why my TV has on-demand TV. I watch whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't wait till next Thursday for my episode to come out, right? So forth. This is how the culture is. Pleasure on demand. And so what is going to happen sexually? This is why pornography right now in our culture, pleasure on demand, it's boom. It's right away. I need it right now. Over and over again. This is why drugs are so huge, why video games, all of these things, they all coalesce, they're all together as the principality of the air works through the sons of disobedience. But the fact is that even according to this article, quote, feelings of regret, loneliness, and a lack of fulfillment are unfortunate consequences of casual sex. This is what has taken place. This is what's happened to men and women. Regret, loneliness, lack of fulfillment, and they're all consequences of casual sex. People just taking sex, something that God designed as a man and as a woman cleaved together, one with another, for life, and they've corrupted it. Something, a beautiful thing that God has given us has been corrupted by the world. And I believe this is why in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 that we are called very clearly to make sure that marriage is esteemed, that it's held in high honor amongst all. That's what the believers are supposed to do, to esteem marriage high. That's what we should have in the church. And why does it say that? Because very, very clearly, it says the marriage bed is undefiled. God has sanctified the marriage bed for husband and wife, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Those sleeping with others outside of marriage. And in fact, in this article, it brings out the scientific ramifications in terms of the mind and how oxytocin is released when you sleep with someone. Now, I find this really interesting, and I talk about agency versus causation. We can talk about this is what happens in the body without actually knowing the cause. And I believe when we talk about the things that happen in your mind or your body and neuroscience and things like that, all of those things that take place is because God designed it that way, and he designed it for a specific purpose. So she says this, oxytocin, commonly referred to as the love hormone, is one of the chemicals your body releases during sex. It encourages bonding behavior in us, and it also inclines us towards trust, empathy, and relaxation. This same hormone is released in women during childbirth and breastfeeding, and considering how strong we know the bonds are between mothers and their children, it should give you an idea of how powerful this chemical can be. Oxytocin has been cited as one of the biological mechanisms promoting monogamy in humans, which puts our body in direct opposition with the concept of sexual sex. Yes, you were designed to be one person with one person, a man with a woman, cleave together until your death. That's how God has designed it. She mentions this shouldn't mean that people are supposed to just do casual hookups and just say, oh, get over it, or that person's just too clingy. The fact is, God designed it this way so that we would grow with one another. And he designed this beautiful thing to not be taken outside of the marriage bed. And what's sad is, as I mentioned in the title, this idea that has been permeated in the culture, stuff that plenty of believers have entertained themselves with for a number of years, listened to music that have told them that this is normative in our culture. Their friends, even though we're told, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals, their friends that they have in their life also talk about and act this way. So that now what's happened to our culture, and when I say our, I'm also talking about the Christian culture in a more popularized sense. What's happened in the Christian culture is that now it's become acceptable because we didn't listen to the warning that Paul gave us, that that bad company has corrupted our good morals. God's word has made things clear, and we allow people to be around us to make it unclear. It's so often, I've even heard this. I heard this from someone who got caught watching porn, that what they said to their mom was, well, everyone does it. Well, everyone does it. Could you imagine saying those words? It matters what God says. That's the first thing we need to think about. And in an article this last year by Jeff Diamant, it says half of U.S. Christians say casual sex between consenting adults is sometimes or always acceptable. Guys, half of U.S. quote-unquote Christians say that it's acceptable. That is horrific to think about. In that study by Pew Research Center, 33% said always, and 24% said sometimes, and 10% said rarely, but 32% said never. This is casual sex and open relationships. That's what the question is. Guys, this is horrible. I'm sorry. That question was sex between unmarried adults in a committed relationship. How are you committed if you're not married? What are you committed to? Casual sex between consenting adults who are not in a committed relationship, 18% say always acceptable in the Christian realm, 32% say sometimes, 17% say rarely. Guys, this is horrific to hear. There is no place where you say now it's acceptable. This is why we have to make things clear when it comes to the word of God. And we say, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? In an article that I wrote one for every movie that came out for that 50 Shades of Garbage that came out. I wrote three articles concerning the books, movies, whatever. And in one of them, I believe it's 50 Shades Darker Into Sin, I talk about a quote-unquote Christian sex therapist who talks about how these things are good. And let me just read straight from the article. Quote, but Christians couldn't be using this line of thinking, right? The line of thinking by sex therapist Kimberly Resnick Anderson, who said, quote, we used to think of sex as you cross the line. Now you're in an intimate zone, but now sex is almost a given and it's not that intimate anymore. But Christians couldn't be using this line of thinking. Actually, Bromley McClingahan I have no idea if I said that right. Author of, quote, Good Christian Sex, Why Chastity Isn't the Only Option, and Other Things the Bible Says About Sex. It's just horrible to even talk about. Talk about calling good evil and evil good. A mother married of three and an associate, quote unquote, pastor that says single Christians can have sex as long as it's, quote, mutually pleasurable and affirming. In her op-ed in the Washington Post concerning her book, she says, quote, part of figuring out how to live into the creative life of God, what does that even mean, is figuring out how to live into being yourself. Do what thou wilt, is what she's saying. And choosing the spiritual practices and disciplines that support your own discipleship. One of the most unfair things the Christian tradition has foisted on singles is the expectation that they would remain celibate, that is, refraining from sexual relationships. The Christian tradition foisted upon? This is what the Lord says. This is the warning in Jude that people like her would creep in unnoticed and say that's normative. And then you have over 50% of people saying, yeah, this is fine. 50% of quote unquote Christians that are polled, that it's totally fine. Sometimes it's okay. It's always okay. And rarely it's okay to sleep with someone in a casual sense. What rare position could you be in where casually having sex is needed? There isn't one. This is why we need to say, thus saith the Lord. What does God say concerning these issues? What does God say when it comes to sex, fornication, adultery, and so forth? Not even getting into the homosexuality of it. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. When in the book of Proverbs, it warns about specifically the adulterous woman and not to go with her, it talks about how your liver will hurt. So STDs will happen. Those were put there by God as a judgment. We need to make sure we're recognizing these things. This is wicked. And anybody who would claim to be a Christian and is counseling someone to fornicate, commit adultery, look at pornography, engage in homosexuality, you are someone aligned with the teachings that Jude came against of people that crept in unnoticed, ungodly persons who traded the grace of God for a license of immorality and denied the despotan, the master who bought them, and that their condemnation was already foretold long ago. This is important for us to recognize. This is not something small. This is not something minuscule. This is very, very important for us to understand that this line of thinking is hurting people. This line of thinking in the church is getting babies murdered. We have to put that into perspective. Casual dating has murdered millions of babies. Casual sex has murdered millions of babies. That is something you need to understand. Because just as when David had to cover up his sin, he had to do so by killing Uriah the Hittite. And that's the word usage that he was the one who ultimately killed him because he put him in a position to be killed, which is the same thing for any of these politicians that make sure money goes and funds these Planned Parenthoods and so forth. And we have to recognize and see that the sin here, just as in James it warns about the sin and the fruition of sin that eventually leads to death, coveting and murder and so forth, all of these things. This isn't even getting into the pornography issue. If you have not seen our five-part series or four-part series, Tony's giving me a five because I got 5 minutes left. If you haven't seen, I guess it's a five-part series. We did the live, right?
Yep. Q&A.
So we did a live Q&A. We did a five-part series on pornography, and I really encourage you guys, please check that out. It's Satan's sex scheme. If you want to know why you need to stop watching pornography, if you want to know how you're funding child sex trafficking by watching pornography, we show you. So please, please, please check that out. It's so important. But we need to recognize these things. We need to Make sure if you're involved in casual sex, you repent of it. If you're involved in fornicating with someone and you're saying, well, it's like we're married because we've been together so long, you're still fornicating. You have not yet been married. So stop doing it, repent, and trust in Jesus. You know, I want to point this out because I've had this happen. And I used to work with a brother in Christ who he led a Bible study with a lot of bikers and things like that. And a lot of them were just new converts. And he said, for a number of years, I think 20-some years, he had led this Bible study. And he said, so often, one of the most common things is two bikers come together and they start going out, and then they move in together, and especially in the Bible study. Or they're already moved in together, and they're not married. And so they come, and they go, well, and here's the thing. He said they always say the same thing. Well, we really wouldn't be able to afford it if we lived separately. We wouldn't be able to afford the bills. So he says to every single one of them who has ever said that, and he said, I couldn't even count how many, I've offered the same exact thing. Well, one of you can live with us for free, and we'll even do your laundry, I think. One of you can live with us for free. And do you want to know how many people, and you can still have your house over there, and then you guys aren't living with each other, you're not sleeping with each other, and we hold you accountable. Do you know how many took him up on that? No, Tony, not three. Zero. This is something really important, guys. We have to get this across because the fact is it's typically the sexual sin. And guys, it is hard to break off of that. And Satan will whisper things in both the man and the woman that are involved in that sexual sin. The man, you know, they'll keep doing it. And if they stop, a lot of times the woman that's involved will feel inferior or something, like maybe they don't love me anymore. And that's not the case. If you love someone, guess what? Love them enough to love Jesus more. That's really, really important. And I wanted to address something real quick at the end of this show that has been going on our Facebook page and another of other things. For the last couple of weeks, we've been exposing some of the false prophets who have admitted to being false prophets. Tony, you know, we have done multiple shows about false prophecies, bragging about their false prophecies. In fact, when it comes to Bethel, Bill Johnson saying specifically, you can't even graduate their school of ministry until you're a false prophet, okay? That's a fact. This is audio. Can't get around it. All right? So we posted about Jeremiah Johnson a couple weeks ago, and we got a lot of heat. Well, you're wrong. Trump is going to be reelected. He's going to be inaugurated, right? We were told that over and over again. Trump is going to be inaugurated. Well, Trump did not get inaugurated. Biden got put into the presidency. All right? That's it. So we posted and did our show on how the church can endure Biden presidency. Now, one of the reasons we did that is because we know that a lot of people's hearts were deferred because none of us wanted Biden in there. In fact, right before I recorded this show, guess what happened? He signed into legislation throwing out some of the stuff that Trump had written into law concerning babies. And then posted again about the false prophecies because we posted an article before. We did an episode just this week concerning, or just last week, concerning this. And we've had a number of people come out at us and say, you're still wrong. Trump is actually still the president. And guys, we got to stop moving the goalpost. Your hope is being deferred. And guess what? I do not care. Not since I don't care, period, but I don't care in terms of where my hope is. I don't want my hope deferred and my heart sick because I've placed all my hope that God is going to come and stop the Biden presidency and put Trump in office. I do not want my hope in that whatsoever. My hope needs to be completely on the Lord. I was just reading the Songs of Ascent yesterday, and I believe it's Psalm 121. Maybe I'm getting it wrong, but it's off the top of my head. I've read all of Psalms in one day, so it was tough. But I look my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's ultimately the one who made them. And guess what? Here's the thing. Whether you believe people's votes were not really counted, there was fraudulent, you may be able to usurp the will of the people. That's happened in Russia, that's happened in China, that's happened in Africa. You cannot usurp the will of God. He will appoint them. And guess what? You need to just turn and say, I don't care what you have, whether blessing or curse for the rulers of our nation. I trust that I'm in Christ and I follow him. God bless.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.